All right, everybody, I have Coach Belichick for you.
All right, thanks, Stacy. Well, we're going to treat today kind of like a regular season Monday. The players have come in, and we're going to watch the film and go through the corrections and do the stuff we normally do on Monday with our training program and so forth, and then take the weekend and try to give the players, you know, they've been going at it pretty good here. We have a long week coming up with Tampa. Give them a little bit of time to get over some bumps and bruises and, you know, come back with a good fresh approach to next week, which is a big week for us. And also give us some time as a coaching staff to talk about where we're at and prioritize the things that we need to do. And there are always a number of those, more than we have time for. We just have to decide which ones are the most important and how we want to address them. And this is really a big week for us in terms of a little bit extra time. And a full week before Tampa, more than a full week, because then after that we have two games back to back, and it'll be very, very difficult to get a lot of extra work in before the Philadelphia and the Giants games. It'll be more of just trying to get organized and get ready for those games. So we're in a little bit of a transition week between training camp and the last couple preseason games, then before we start our regular season preparations, and so we just we need to have a good week this week and prioritize what we're going to do. As far as last night's game goes, it was pretty obvious to anybody who watched the game. There were things that were good and positive, and there were other things that we didn't look too good at, and the Ravens looked better than we did in certain areas. So we need to address those and shore some of those up, most all of which we've talked about and worked on. We just didn't do a real good job on them. And there were other things that were that showed up better in the game, and hopefully that's something that we can be consistent with, but we'll just have to see. There's a long way to go. We can't base anything on one game, so we still got to keep working on, all the areas that we've identified as being important. So a lot of players got playing time. Some guys got quite a bit. Two corners played really almost the whole game, which is pretty unusual in preseason. And other guys didn't play as much. We had a number of players that didn't play. So evaluate what we can evaluate, and that, I'm sure, will change in the coming weeks on some of those playtime ratios based on what we feel like we need to do and what the play we feel like is best for the players and also the availability of different guys. So we'll make those decisions in terms of playing time much later on next week. But, the guys that we got a chance to see play, and in some cases we saw them play an extended period of time, it's good. It just gives you a little bit longer evaluation of them, and so I think that was it was a good opportunity and a good thing for us to see.
Phil, you actually started the game by deferring the opening coin toss, and I was curious if that decision was made to highlight the rule change to the team, or if that's something you would envision sort of becoming regular occurrence if you win the toss during the year.
I think it'll be a regular occurrence. I think it'll be probably what most teams. I think in college, college coaches that I've talked to have pretty much all told me that everybody always defers when they win the toss in college. It's like 100% of the time. And my guess would be that it would approach that in the NFL as well in time. Whether it does right off the bat or not, I don't know. That it would take some type of extreme conditions or a very unusual situation to not do that if you win the toss. And so that's that's our approach going into it. I think we'll defer just about every time, unless there's some overriding circumstances that would cause us to do it differently. So, you know, we'll start doing that now.
Had a question, just football specific, about on the punt team. Can you just, if you would, talk about the importance of that role of the I guess it would be the personal protector, and why, what is the primary role for that player, and why is that player important?
Well, he has several important jobs. One is the personal protector handles the communication on the punt team in terms of protection. So when they if they bring, you know, eight players up to potentially rush the punt with the other two guys covering the gunners and a deep returner, you know, you have eight to block eight, and including the center, and you've got to get that right. And so you want to block it in the most advantageous way for your punt team. So making the calls as to how to handle the protection, who's going to take who, who's going to go where, and then as that number diminishes, whether it goes from 8 to 7 or 7 to 6, or sometimes to, even though there's six guys in there, like 5, and then one guy's stacked, then when you have more people than they do, you can organize it so that you know, try to create a free guy. In other words, you have eight guys there. Which guy do you want to try to get free? How do you want to try to help your coverage and things like that? So it's kind of the quarterback on the punt team. That position is like a quarterback on offense. There's a lot of communication and decision-making there in terms of protection and organizing the coverage. From a coverage, from a blocking standpoint, he's the last line of defense, so that's another important decision as to when to release into coverage, when to stay a little bit longer to protect the punter, when to leave his guy to get somebody else who may be more dangerous, that maybe a blocker has missed in front of them, all kinds of things like that. He's the last line of defense. And then in coverage, you have your two best coverage players split out as gunners, in an extended position, and you know, sometimes they get inside, sometimes they don't. But because the personal protector's lined up behind the snapper, you know, 4, 5, 6 yards, whatever it is, he can a lot of times get released and get through the line of scrimmage and end up being a very productive coverage player, in a sense, like a third gunner for you, if you will. Coming from the inside as opposed to coming from the outside. So there are a lot of important elements in that position. When you pick a player to play there, you might weigh one area more heavily than the other. I'm not saying that every player is, you know, necessarily great at all three of those. Maybe he's better at one than another, or two than the third, but it's an important position, and there's a lot of potential for a lot of production at that position if you have the right guy. Is that too much there on that?
Wow, that was good. Thank you.
Okay.
So how about Kostowski in last night's game, the three field goals and the long kickoffs? I would imagine, you know, have a kicking in the stadium for him, that's a little different than practice. I guess I'd just ask you to comment on his performance.
Thought he kicked well. Thought he had a good night. Thought he kicked well. One much more he could do, really, than make the field goals, get two touchbacks, and, you know, he did a pretty good job. There's a couple little things that could have been a little better, but it was, you know, I thought he did a real nice job.
And in terms of evaluating the quarterbacks, how I know you probably factor everything in. How much do you have to factor in, let's say, protection breakdowns or breakdowns that create long yardage situations on second and third down when you're really trying to evaluate the specific quarterback play?
Right. Well, I don't think it's any different than any other position. There's sometimes a player doesn't really have a great opportunity to be productive on a particular play, whether that's because of the what the other team was doing or maybe because of another breakdown or something. And then there are other times when he does, but in the end, the bottom line is You know, do you feel like, how do you feel like the player's production on any given play is rated towards the potential or what he could have done? You know, what you feel like, you know, he should have been able to do in that situation. And that doesn't mean, you know, every play's got to be an 80-yard touchdown. It just means that, you know, given what happened on the play, what, you know, what's kind of about the most you could have expected from him? Did you get that? Did you get less than that? Or was there a critical mistake that, you know, really put the team, you know, in a tough situation or put another player in a tough situation with a bad decision or, you know, a bad judgment? So that's how you look at that position. I think you look at all, you know, you look at them all like that. And sometimes you kind of say in certain players in that in certain games, well, they really didn't have many chances in that game, or, you know, it's really hard to evaluate them in that particular game just because there just weren't a lot of opportunities. And that's the same thing you get into, you know, in watching scouting college players. And you watch a guy play, and, you know, it's not his fault. It's not anybody's fault. It's just kind of sometimes what you're watching, you just don't get to see the opportunities that you'd like to see where you can really evaluate him. You just see situations where he's kind of, you know, he's doing what he's supposed to do, but there's not, you know, a lot of opportunity for him to do more than that, or he's not put in such a stressful situation that you can really evaluate how well he can handle that. And so that's the same, kind of the same thing we're dealing with when we watch our games.
In that regard, Bill, how do you think Kevin O'Connell did in his opportunities with what he was presented?
Well, I think some things were okay. I think other things could have been better. And I'm sure Kevin learned a lot last night. And I'm sure the next time he gets an opportunity to play, that he'll try to take, you know, some of the experiences that he had tonight and build on those and eliminate some of those mistakes. And I think that's one of the things we really want to see going forward, is how players adjust and hopefully improve. Or if they don't, then, you know, what level they're really at and how good is that?
Bill, some of the reporters in New York who I know you enjoyed speaking with back in the day, were curious if we could toss one out to you, if you had an opinion on the Brett Favre trade.
Well, he's a great player, one of the best players in the last couple of decades. He's got just about every record he could have at the position he plays. His resume speaks for itself, and that's always a big challenge playing the Jets, even more so now. And, you know, they've got a lot of talent. I'm sure we'll have our hands full every time we face them. But right now, that's not at the forefront of our concerns. We have a lot of other things before we would even come to that. And that's what we'll focus on. But he's a great player. There's no question about that.
Bill, watching live, Lamont Jordan seemed to run pretty effectively, pretty hard, a little bit of shiftiness there, with the, and even had a nice spin move. I haven't watched the film. How would you assess his first debut there for you?
You know, Lamont did some really good things. He had a lot of carries. And, you know, some other things that he knew to the system, and running some of those plays for the first time, especially under you know, full speed contact situations, which, you know, we don't do that much of out here in practice. You know, they look a little different. They have a little different feel to them than just running them, you know, in practice setting. So I think there was some good teaching for him, and he gained some good experience. And he also, you know, showed up, broke some tackles, made some yards on his own, and, you know, made a few plays. So good to see him out there. Good to have him running the ball. Sure, he'll get some more opportunities. It's like we talked about with O'Connell. He'll get some more opportunities to get a chance to build on those, you know, as we go forward.
Final question. Bill, along those same lines, having watched the films, what did you think of the rookie linebacker performance? I know Sean obviously had the nice interception and was in on attack, and Mayo had some nice hits. So what did you think of their first performances?
Well, Well, same thing. Some good things. Some need to be better. But, you know, I thought Sean and Gerard both, you know, competed well, played hard. Same thing with Guyton, too, and Red, for that matter, and all the rookie linebackers. I thought the play that Guyton made on the punt was, you know, a real good effort play and showed his speed down there on a 2-yard line. Red made, you know, a tackle on a kickoff and rushed a passer. You know, Crable showed up in a couple different areas, too, on special teams and against the run and rushed him and, you know, had the interception and drop, same thing. So, you know, there were some positives, some good bright spots, things they, examples where they took the plays that we taught them and they practiced and translated that over into the field and, you know, were productive with it. Other things that weren't quite as good that, you know, need to be corrected, improved, and you know, played at a, performed at a higher level the next time they get an opportunity. So, but, you know, I'm encouraged and glad that, you know, they had an opportunity to play as much as they did. I think it was a good experience for, you know, all those young linebackers.
Well, thanks, everyone. Thank you, Coach, for taking the time.
Thank you, Steve.